This evening we will be returning to the series on the life of David, a man after God's own heart. We'll be picking this up in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 17. If you'll turn with me to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel in chapter 17. Often as I come to read the text that I'll be preaching on, I try to read a bit around it for context, but as I started to go back in 2 Samuel 17, I realized that I would be reading a lot of scripture to get the full context. So we'll be just reading the passage tonight, and then I'll be giving a bit of the context for you in the introduction. But I want to look at and read 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 15 through 22. This is right after Hushai has given advice to Absalom, and also Ahithophel has given advice to Absalom. And Hushai is going to communicate what that advice was to David. So we'll begin reading then in 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 15. Hear now the word of God. Then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, "Thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up." Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed at En-Rogel, for they dared not be seen coming into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Baharim who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. Then the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, "Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" So the woman said to them, "They have gone over the water brook." And when they had searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. Now it came to pass, after they had departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told King David, and said to David, "Arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you." So David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Our God, as we think upon this passage of Scripture, we recognize that it is your word given to us. Help us as we hear this explanation of your word, the preaching of your word, to be changed by it, to know more about who you are and who we are as your people, and to be encouraged as we know that even though we go through difficult times, we know that you are in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things that I really enjoy being able to do when my children are off school is to watch movies with them, and they love that as well. But there's one thing that is somewhat frustrating when you're watching a movie. Now, maybe this has happened to you. You're watching a movie and you get asked, what is going to happen? What is going to happen? Now, if you've watched the movie before, maybe you know what's going to happen. But often I get asked this question and I've never even seen the movie, so I have no idea what's going to happen. Sometimes this question is asked in the first 5 minutes of the movie. What is going to happen? So I've started replying in this way. Would you like me to turn off the movie, fast forward to the last few minutes, find out how it all ends, and then we can go do something else? I'll save you a couple of hours in your life. And I have not had anyone take me up on that offer. Why is that? It's because as much as they want to know, as much as they want to know what's going to happen, they don't want to lose the suspense of watching it unfold. Because there's an enjoyment in that. Yes, it's one thing to know how the movie ends, but it's another thing to find out how they got there. And so nobody takes me up on that offer. And in a sense, as we come to 2 Samuel chapter 17, the movie's already been spoiled for us. We know the end. We know what's going to happen. We know something that the characters here do not know. If you look with me at 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 14, this is after both Ahithophel has advised Absalom and Hushai. Now, Ahithophel advised Absalom and told him, you should go attack right now. Attack David right now. This is your opportunity. And Hushai comes in and he gives him opposite advice. No, gather the armies together. Gather a large army and then attack him. And when you crush him, even if we have to pull, as he says here, with ropes, whatever city he is in, pull it down into the river. We will do that so that not one small stone will be found. We will utterly defeat him. So this advice has been given. But then in verse 14, we read that Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. So we know there that Absalom is going to choose the advice of Hushai. But we also are told this. We're told that the reason behind this, the one writing this tells us that the Lord had purpose to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. So we have the inside scoop. We know what's going to happen. We know that God has already decided through Hushai to use him to counteract the advice of Ahithophel. We know that Ahithophel and Absalom are going down. They will be defeated. But we know this. But what about Hushai? David, Jonathan, Ahimaaz, do they know this? No. They don't know this. All David knows is that he sent Hushai to try to frustrate the counsel of Ahithophel. We'll see here in a moment that Hushai doesn't even know which advice Absalom is going to follow. And so for them, they have not received any spoilers. They don't know what's going to happen. This is a very tense situation. It's a real nail-biter. In fact, the central point of this text, one commentator points out, as this text is written in the Hebrew, is found in verse 18. And the central part of the text in this section is they went down into the well. So we might say that the central place in this text, the central point, is that Jonathan and Ahimaaz are literally at their lowest point. They're down in a well. They're down in a well, and they're imagine this, hiding in a well that's covered. It would have been dark. The wife of the man at the house of Baharim covered the well, put grain on top of it, and they're down there, and they're waiting, knowing that assassins are looking for them to kill them. Now, can you imagine that? You're in the dark. You're sitting there. You're not saying anything. You dare not breathe. And every sound you hear, you think, is that them removing the cover to the well to pull me out? Is this the end? Are we discovered? And here's the reality. Although we have the inside scoop when it comes to this situation, we don't get the same benefit when it comes to our own situations, do we? God doesn't say to us, I know you're going through this very difficult time, but don't worry. I have planned to frustrate so-and-so. I've already got this worked out. Now, he does give us general promises. Romans 8:28, he works all things together for good, doesn't he? So we know as Christians, we know that God is working all things out in the end for good, but here's the issue. We often don't experience this in real time. We don't. If we're honest with ourselves, we do not. In fact, we experience the opposite. We know that God is going to work it out, but we have no idea how he is going to work it out. We don't have any idea how long this trial is going to be. We don't have any idea how long we're going to be at the bottom of the well. We don't know what's going to happen. It hasn't been spoiled. And this makes life stressful, doesn't it? It's one thing to say, I know God's working it all out. It's another thing to live that out in the midst of a trial. It's hard. It's difficult. So we experience what I would call the tension of God's providence. There's a tension between what we know to be true, God is working all things together for good to those who love him, and what we experience in real time. How is God doing this? How long is this going to last? What is going to happen? When am I getting out of this well? That's the experience that we have. And this tension is not pleasant, but what I hope to show is that this tension is God's way of building us up in our faith as He causes us to persevere through these tight situations. Now, the context here as we come to 2 Samuel chapter 17 is one in which David is king. Well, at least he was king. And if you remember, his oldest son, after he'd become king, his oldest son Amnon had sexually assaulted his half-sister Tamar. Well, Tamar's full brother Absalom was very angry, but 2 years later, he decides to take out vengeance upon his brother, and he murders him. And for that crime, he is exiled from the presence of the king. But then 3 years later, 3 years after his exile, Absalom is brought back by David, and this is not a good idea. For after Absalom returns, what he does is he begins to secretly plan to overthrow his father and to take the throne for himself. And now, as we come to this section in 2 Samuel, he has made good on that plan. He has done it. David is now the one who is going into exile. But David, as he goes into exile, he meets a few individuals, and one of those is Hushai. David is praying to God, and God sends Hushai to him. Hushai, one of his counselors. And David tells Hushai, I need you to do a few things for me. The first thing I need you to do is I need you to go and defeat the council of Ahithophel. Because I know that Absalom has Ahithophel, who was also a wonderful and very, very strategic counselor. In fact, the scripture says that his advice was as if God himself had spoken. So good was his counsel. And so David sends Hushai to Absalom to try to counteract the advice that Ahithophel was going to give him. And Hushai has gone and done that to the best of his ability. But the second task that David assigned to Hushai is to tell him, to warn him of what was going to happen. And that's what we see being completed in these verses 15 through 22. And as we look at these verses, I want you to look at them and understand this truth, that the tension that we see here caused by God's providence, while uncomfortable, is a growth-producing experience. The tension caused by God's providence, while uncomfortable, is a growth-producing experience. And there are two ways in which, or reasons, that the experience that we have of tension comes through providence. The first is that we experience tension because providence is a hidden road. We can't see what's going on. We can't see what God is doing. And second, we experience tension because providence is a hard road. So the first thing I want you to notice from this text is that both Hushai and David, like us, experience this tension because the providence of God is hidden from them. Now, Hushai could have no certainty as to which choice Absalom would make. Whose advice was he going to follow? If you look with me at 2 Samuel chapter 17, Hushai's advice ends in verse 13. And then in verse 14, we have the record of Absalom and all the men of Israel taking counsel together and deciding on the advice of Hushai. But we're not told that Hushai was present. Most likely he was not. Hushai would have been dismissed. He had given his advice. And so Hushai goes forth, not knowing which one they were going to choose. That's why Hushai tells David, as he sends this message, look with me at verse 15. Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom. So he gives them the message. This is what Ahithophel told Absalom to do. And Ahithophel's advice was go and attack immediately. But then he tells him, and thus and so I have advised. In other words, tell David this. Tell David that Ahithophel has advised Absalom to go attack immediately tonight. And tell David that I have advised Absalom to gather the armies and wait. David, I'm trying to buy you time. I'm trying to buy you time to escape. But notice what he goes on to say in verse 16. Now therefore, send quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend this night in the plains, but speedily cross over, let's cross over the Jordan, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. This tells us that Hushai had no idea which way Absalom was going to go. It was hidden from him. But he tells David, listen, worst case scenario is that he follows Ahithophel's advice and he attacks tonight. You better leave right away. So Hushai advises David to flee immediately. God's providential control is hidden from Hushai. He has no idea. Now David could have no certainty either as to which that he would choose. David is going to receive this message. But David had to make a decision. He had to make a decision. He had two possibilities. Either Absalom would follow Ahithophel's advice and attack immediately, or Absalom would follow Hushai's advice and attack later. But David assumed then, and as we'll see as he flees, he assumes that the attack might come immediately. And so here we see that there's this tension that Hushai would have felt, not knowing which way are things going to go. There's certainly a tension that David and all the people would have felt, not knowing which way things were going to go. Am I going to be attacked tonight? Is that the sound of horses that I hear coming? Are they coming for me? What's going on? This tension was because God's providence is a hidden road. We don't know at the time that things are occurring what is going to occur. And in the midst of trials, God's hand of providence is also hidden from us. We've gone through many trials this year. We're going to go through more. And we're going to want to know. We're going to want to say, how does this end? Like those watching a movie. And often it's not even 5 minutes into the trial. It's a minute into the trial. Oh, I want to know. When is this going to end? How is this going to end? But God doesn't give us those answers. He doesn't promise to give us those answers. What he's doing is often hidden from us. And this results in a tension between what we see with our eyes and what we believe with our hearts. We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And this can be uncomfortable. But it's not bad. It's not bad to experience this, because what it does for us is it causes us to grow closer to God. It causes us to have to do what David brought out in Psalm 37. It causes us to recognize that salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked. He shall save them. Why? Because they trust in Him. But what is trust? Trust is not knowing what's going to happen. If we saw what was going to happen, it wouldn't be trust. But we trust in God, not knowing what's going to happen. We trust in God in the midst of the unknown because His providence is hidden. And so Hushai and David had to do this. They had to make decisions based on information that was, according to their perspective, incomplete. They had to trust God to deliver them. But this was not only a tense situation. There was not only this tension that was experienced because providence is a hidden road, but also, as we see, providence is a hard road. Walking it out is hard. It's difficult. It's not easy when we're undergoing trials. We experience this tension because it is a hard road. This was a hard road for Jonathan and Ahimaaz. Think about this. These two young men who were sons of David's priests, Zadok and Abiathar. And since Zadok and Abiathar would be watched by Absalom and by his soldiers, they had to set up this elaborate plan. And the plan was that they would wait at En-Rogel. And En-Rogel is about a quarter of a mile away from Jerusalem. They would wait there, and they would wait until a female servant would travel out there. And she would travel, probably going under the guise of going to draw water from the well there. Interestingly, the name En-Rogel is a spring, but it's sometimes translated as the spring of the spies, because the Hebrew word Rogel comes from a root that means to foot it or to go about as a slanderer or a spy. So it's interesting to note there that here are two spies working for David at the well of the spies, waiting for information to come to them. And this female servant would then travel out there, hopefully undetected, as if she was getting water from the well in order to deliver this information to them. But something went wrong. It was hard enough that they were waiting there, waiting for the information, waiting to relay it on, but something went wrong. We're told in verse 18 that a lad saw them. A young man saw them and reported back to Absalom. And this made things harder. They were spotted and they had to flee. Both of them went away quickly. And they came to a man's house in Baharim. Now they're traveling, so at in Rogel they were about a quarter of a mile from Jerusalem, and Baharim is about a mile from Jerusalem. So they go farther out from Jerusalem, and they come to a man's house. This man would have been a supporter of David because he welcomes them in. This man would have been wealthy. We're told that he had a well in his court. That's not something that everyone at this time had. But this well provided the perfect hiding spot. And so they crawl down into the well and they hide, and they're assisted by this man's wife. But then the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground grain on it. This would be done in order to dry out the grain, to process it for food. But the soldiers come, don't they? Absalom's servants come, and they come to the woman at the house. Verse 20, they ask, "Where are they? Where are the spies?" And the woman said to them, "They have gone over the water brook." The water brook, this would have been a little south. This would have been further away from where they were going. So she misdirects them. She sends them on a wild goose chase, telling them they crossed over, they left, they're no longer here. She doesn't deny seeing them, but she doesn't exactly tell the truth. But she sends them away, and they go, and they look, and they cannot find them. We're told that they searched and could not find them, and they return empty-handed to Jerusalem. So this is a hard road for Jonathan and Ahimaaz. It's hard because they are fearful for their very life. They're in the bottom of this well. They're wondering, what's going to happen? And yet we see that by God's providence, unknown to them how it would work out, they're able then to come up out of the well after these men leave in verse 21. After they, that is the soldiers of Absalom, the servants of Absalom, had departed, they, the two spies, came up out of the well, and they went and they told King David. They're able to get the message to King David. But it was not an easy road, was it? They probably did not think, as this was going on, we're absolutely going to succeed. They may have thought the opposite down in the bottom of that well. They may have thought, there is no way we're going to get this message to David in time. But they did. The road was hard for them. The road was hard for David and the people. So David then receives this word, and notice what they tell him in verse 21. They went and told King David and said to David, "Arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you." And we're told here that David, and the focus is here placed on Ahithophel's advice, because remember, Ahithophel's advice was the one that said, "Attack tonight." They're telling him, "Listen, there are these two options, but Hushai recommends that you take the first option, because that's going to be the safest. Leave tonight." Now, this is what that would involve. Crossing over the water is crossing over the Jordan, is going even further to the east, and crossing over the Jordan. But this is at night. Remember, Ahithophel said, "Attack this night." So here it is, at night, and David and all the people with him. Now, this isn't just David and his mighty men, but this is David and his families and his servants and their families. There were children. "Pack everything up and go now." I remember growing up, we used to go down to Branson or some other places, and I remember it was so exciting to be able to get up in the middle of the night. It was still dark. Get the pillow and go get in the car and drive, and maybe even fall asleep in the car. At that time, there were no seatbelts in the back seat either, so that made it a little bit easier. It's pretty exciting to do that, but I don't think this would have been very exciting. This would have been fearful. Here in the middle of the night, the warning comes, Absalom may very well be on his way, and when he comes, he is going to take all of you out, including your children. So you can imagine the fear that would have crept in. Why are we leaving, Mom? Why are we leaving, Dad? What is going on? Why the rush? And not only that, this is in the middle of the night, they're packing up everything, and they're fleeing for their lives. This would have been a 20-mile journey from Jerusalem to the Jordan River, in the dark, in the wilderness. And as they ended this journey, they had to go in the dark through the rushing waters of the Jordan to get to the other side, with their families, with their goods. This was not an easy road. It was not easy for Jonathan and Ahimaaz to get the message to David. It wasn't easy for David, even after receiving the message, to go. But what do we see? What do we see? Look at the end of verse 22 with me. "By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. They all made it. Not one of them was left. They didn't lose one in the wilderness. They didn't lose one to the Jordan. They were all kept alive. Now, they didn't know that this was going to be the end, but God providentially brought this about. How did he do it? Well, Hushai was used, obviously. Now, Hushai had done the best that he could. He had done the best that he could to frustrate the advice of Ahithophel and buy David some time to escape from Absalom. But he didn't know, would it work? Is Absalom really going to buy that I, who am a friend of David's, am the one to trust with weighty advice like this? He didn't know. He wasn't sure. So he sent word to David, warning him of both scenarios, but urging him to flee immediately. Both Hushai and David felt the tension of God's providence because it was hidden from them. They had no idea what was going to happen. And even getting that message to David was difficult. It involved a secret information network comprised of a serving girl, two young men, men who had to spend time at the bottom of a well hiding for fear of being discovered, for fear of being killed. And even once the message reached David, the road to escape was difficult. It was hard. An all-night trek through the wilderness and across a roaring river. It involved this tense night. Why? Because not only is God's providence hidden, unknown to us, but it is a hard road to walk. But again, David and all the people made it safely across the Jordan. Now, they didn't know at the beginning of this day that they would make it safely across the Jordan. Now, we knew. Remember, we have had this background information. We have this spoiler. We know how the end is going to happen. We know that God had a purpose to use Hushai's advice to frustrate the advice of Ahithophel and also to bring down Absalom. So we knew that Absalom wasn't going to attack that night because he was going to listen to Hushai. But David did not know that. Hushai did not know that. They didn't know what was going to happen. Now we don't get... We may get this as we read what happened in history with David and Hushai and this situation, but we don't get that for our own lives, do we? God doesn't give us advanced play-by-play providential information. He doesn't tell us how things are going to work out. He tells us that ultimately things will, but he doesn't give us the details of how that's going to happen. This is hard. We have no idea what is going to happen in the next minute, do we? No idea. We can make some assumptions, but we don't know. If we don't know what's going to happen in the next minute, how is it that we were going to know what's going to happen in the next hour, the next day, the next week, the next month? We don't. And so we live in this tension, don't we? We live in the tension of understanding that God is in control of all things, that His providence is working out all things, but we don't see it. We don't see it right now. We don't see it in real time. It's hidden. And because it's hidden, because we don't know, we live with the propensity to be fearful. It becomes a hard road. But even though this is true, I want you to have confidence. I want you to have this confidence that no matter what occurs, we can have confidence. As we see here, David and Hushai, and not one that was with them was left on the other side of the Jordan by daylight. So also we know that God will bring us through. We don't know how God's going to bring us through. We don't know how difficult it's going to be, but we know that God will bring us through. Now, how do we know this? We have more information. We live in a time after the coming of Christ. We know that all of God's promises in Christ are yes and amen. And we know this, that God has already brought us, those who are in Christ, through the greatest of difficulties. He has brought us, as it were, through the waters of death. Because in Christ we have died, and in Christ we have been raised to newness of life. We have gone through the waters, and they did not cover our head. We have crossed from death to life, and we live in Him. He brought us through, and we're now safely in His hands. And the Scripture tells us that He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. You see, now we have peace with God. Now we have peace with God. And so, as we have peace with God, we understand that although we face tribulations, although we are going to go through these difficult times of tension, we're going to experience this tension of God's providence being hidden from us and the road of walking out God's providence being very hard. We know with certainty that all of these trials, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, all of these trials for those who have peace with God through Christ do nothing but produce perseverance in us. And when they produce perseverance, they produce character. And when they produce character, they produce hope. And that hope never disappoints. You see, God will not lose one of his people. Not one of the people with David was lost, and neither will any who are in Christ be lost. We may not see how that is going to happen. We walk by faith and not by sight. But the encouragement is this, that although now we are going to experience, no doubt, the tension of God's providence, because it is hidden, because it is hard, we are being prepared. We're being prepared to persevere now through the trials of life, because we don't know what trials we're going to face tomorrow. But also, as we persevere, we are given this great hope. We are given this great hope that we will persevere to the end and find rest in heaven. That is the hope of the Christian life. And so be encouraged that even as you go through this tension, as you deal with God's providential control over all things, and you're asking, what's going to happen, God? I don't know how this is going to work out. I have no idea. This is hidden from me. And this is hard. I don't know how to live this out. Know that God is working it out for your good. And also, even in the trial, it's for your good to create a perseverance in you, to build character and hope. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, help us to understand this lesson of your providence. Help us to know that the way that you orchestrate things, the way that you work things out, even as we see here, working them out so that David and all who were with him could cross the Jordan, don't always seem to our eyes as if they are working out. But we trust in you. We know that you have certainly given us the greatest of gifts in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have brought us through death and given us newness of life. And how will you not, with him, give us all things? Thank you for this promise. Help us to live with this faith, not looking at our surroundings, not looking at our circumstances, but looking at you. In Jesus' name. Amen.